Hey, Fortifiers, thank you so much for listening to I Feel You, a Fortify Wellness production. We are into season four, where we sit down with trailblazing women in their industry to chat about overcoming adversity, moments of fortitude, and of course, anxiety. This information is not to be misconstrued as medical or psychological advice. Please contact your medical team if you have concerns pertaining to your overall well-being. I am your host, Bettina Mahoney, the founder and CEO of Fortify Wellness, and I am so excited to welcome Wendy Diamond, who is a social entrepreneur, impact investor, humanitarian, endangered animal and rescue advocate, world premiere pet lifestyle expert, best-selling author, and TV personality. Wendy is heralded as a trailblazer in the empowering women, impact investing, and animal worlds. Dubbed as the Martha Stewart of the milk bone dish by The New Yorker and crowned the canine queen by Forbes. In 1999, after rescuing her first shelter animals, Wendy became soulfully motivated to help 12 million euthanized animals in shelters every year. Wendy founded the premier pet lifestyle brand, Animal Fair Media. Her spirited and focused mission was to inspire and educate the world that by adopting any breed, any size, any age, and any color animal, and bridging celebrities and pop culture to the animal rescue world would greatly elevate animal welfare and rescue. In 1999, after rescuing her first shelter animals, Wendy became soulfully motivated to help 12 million euthanized animals in shelters every year. Wendy founded the premier pet lifestyle brand, Animal Fair Media. Her spirited and focused mission was to inspire and educate the world that by adopting any breed, any size, any age, and any color animal, and bridging celebrities and pop culture to the animal rescue world would greatly elevate animal welfare and rescue. She refused to sit and roll over, making Animal Fair Media the premier lifestyle media company in the world, specializing the promotion of animal welfare and rescue. The rest is history. She reined in the leash, worked diligently, and never looked back. Wendy coined the term pet lifestyle and featured celebrities promoting animal welfare and adoption, pet parenting, pet lifestyle, pet travel, health tips, and pet art. Since 1999, she has featured A-list celebrities including Beyonce, Halle Berry, Pamela Anderson, Ashley Tisdale, Shania Twain, Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel, Serena Williams, Hilary Duff, Kristen Bell, Hayden Panettiere, Leanne Rimes, and so many more. The New Yorker called Animal Fair the first to crossbreed two American passions, celebrity and pets. I am so excited to welcome Wendy Diamond.
You know, if they can be happy, why can't we be happy? You know, if they live on a dirt floor and they're happy, why can't we be happy? And that's why I never in my life will ever, after learning how to control my mind, I will never go to those dark spaces. I could, you know, of course you get upset and of course things happen. And you just have to say like, okay, am I going to, you know, how, what, you know, what was the reason for this? And I'm sure there's going to be a positive. I'm going to learn from this sometime in my life.
Absolutely. And I want to highlight controlling your mind, because that's the point of my platform, was because I didn't have the skill sets to be able to go, okay, this event happened to me. This is what I need to do. This is how I need to get help. I didn't have that education. And I think a lot of families and a lot of people around the world also don't have that education, even if, you know, they have impressive degrees. Like sometimes when trauma happens, you don't know what to do next. And so I really wanted to create something that was pre-crisis to help people build those tools. Because sometimes when you're going through an adversity, and we work a lot with like younger teens, they don't have the life experience like you and I do to go, okay, this is going to get better. You know, this event in my life will get better. They kind of go like, oh, can it get better? They feel kind of hopeless. They're unsure. And so I want to highlight controlling your mind, because I think what's interesting about the women that come onto this podcast is they're very sure of themselves because they've had that life experience. And I want to dive deeper in that with you today. But I think it's important that no matter where you're at, you know, there's some people that are on lower sides of the economic spectrum and then higher, building the strong tool sets to be able to control your mind, whether that's doing a morning meditation, going for a walk, being around nature. And I think those are little tools to help you build up to that point where you're at right now, where you're like, I can control my mind. I am happy. But I'm curious, like, what got you to this point where you're like, I can control my mind. I feel grateful. I feel happy to be alive. You just have this like wonderful energy. What sort of pivots did you go through in your life to get you to this point? I want to dive a little bit deeper there.
Literally, I grew up in a very, wonderful community in a little small town of 2,500 people in Ohio. So I'm just like kind of a country bumpkin. You can take a girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the girl. So no matter if I live in New York City now, I'm still that same person, right? And like at 16, I went through some stuff where I was literally on my own and I had two jobs and went to high school and just completely was in survival mode, right? And at that point, my aunt called me from San Francisco and was like, where are you going to go to college? And I had the worst grades because I had to get out of school and I had to go work and all this stuff. And I said, I don't know. I have the worst grades. I can't get in anywhere. And she, she took it into her own hands to make sure I went to college, right? And I think that was one of the big pivots in my life. Then fast forward, I'm moving to New York City. I was working really hard to help animal rescue 24 hours a day when, believe it or not, nobody was talking about animal rescue or adoption. And I created the first media company to bring celebrities and pop culture to the animal rescue world called Animal Fair, because pets were always a huge part of my life. When I was young and crazy stuff was happening, I always had my dog and I always had my cats, right? So I just know the importance of animals. And that's, one of the reasons I did create Animal Fair. In that little part of the journey at the beginning of that, working 24 hours a day, I mean, even like Ralph Purina wouldn't even support us because we were, had the first ever pet fashion show, right? And they're like, we don't believe in dogs being put in, pet fashion. And look at it now. They now sponsor the largest pet fashion show. So like, it's kind of funny, like at that time, and it's hard to believe that time, but there was a time like that. And so working 24 hours a day in a kind of complicated relationship, started smoking, and I'm a health nut. Right. And because my boyfriend at the time smoked. And I ended up, a friend of mine called me from 2020, the ABC News show. And she's like, I haven't seen you forever. You've been working so much. Let's go for lunch. I'm like, oh, I can't. I'm too busy. She's like, come on. Everyone needs to have lunch. Why don't you just meet me? And I went and met her. And I had the patch on. I had Nicorette gum and I started smoking. I'm like, oh my God, take me to St. Vincent's Hospital if I have a heart attack, in a joke, right? Of course. And she said, we just did a segment on the Mad Russian in Boston. And Harvard spent $30 million on a study and they couldn't figure out what he did. And, but people are, stopping smoking after going to see him. Literally the next week I went, and for $65 cash, 1 hour of my time with 20 other people, I stopped smoking, stopped biting my nails, work out 3 times a week, never been unhappy. But the most important thing I learned was how to control my mind. He taught me how to, literally that I decide when I wake up or not, whether I'm happy or sad. He taught me when I look at, my computer, it's the most beautiful computer in the world, or it's so unattractive, but it's my decision. We decide how we react to every situation, to everything. So, you can say to yourself, you know what? Whoever I meet, I'm going to just leave them with something positive, right? Or whatever happens to me. And I'd rather be alone than with unhealthy, negative people. And I really focus all my time. I don't watch anything about murders, about anything kooky. I only watch inspirational, educational, entertaining stuff, right? Because, and I have a list of like 100 of the most craziest inspirational movies you can watch ever that are on Netflix and Amazon that I'm happy to share. And so I think, having that experience with the Mad Russian in Boston, his name's Yefim Shabentov. If you want to Google him, he retired sadly, but he has a bunch of books out and stuff. I think that situation was the most important, situation. Like to this day, I think about him, I talk about him. That was like a big, person in my life because I think, he only charged $65. And if you ever wanted to go back again, he never charged again. Right. So it's hard to find high integrity people like that. And I think that that was probably the pivot of my life where I really was able to control my mind. I had a 5-year stalker. that, transitioned my life from the animal world to, supporting women. And so that, was a crazy experience. But again, because of meeting the Mad Russian in Boston, I learned how to control my mind. In that period, I kept saying, there's a reason for this. Now I say she was the great, by the way, it was a woman. I say that she was the greatest gift ever, because if she didn't, stalk me and ruin my whole life in the animal world, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now, which I'm like, oh my gosh, so excited. And so, it's so impactful and even more impactful.
Wow, that's beautiful. I'm originally from Boston, so, and now
Yeah.
I'm in New York City, so it's so cool. We're so lucky that we have the best access to the best doctors in the world.
He's
We're
not a
so,
doctor.
no.
No. He basically is I think they just call him a therapist.
Okay.
And couldn't figure out what he does. And
Okay.
all he does is talk to you.
Okay. Wow. I
And
love.
so yeah, and they say what he does is he reprograms your mind. So meaning we know in the back of our head we should be happy. We know in our back of our head like you shouldn't smoke, right? But he brings all that to the forefront.
So your consciousness, she takes what you know in your subconscious. Got
Yeah,
it.
exactly.
Which I think is a lot of work, and it's very brave for you to look in the mirror and go, I want to work on this. That's how I felt. I felt like I wanted to work on the adversities that were coming my way because I wanted to make an impact. If it had to happen, I'm not grateful for the experience. I don't think I am lucky for the experience, but I think that you have two choices in life. You can sink or swim, right? And so I decided to swim and to take my experience and go, I want to help people. And clearly you like advocating for the
Yeah,
other.
but think about like your life, right? You
Yeah.
went through that, and think about all the people now that you're able to help,
Yeah. And
right? And be able to, and for to look at it more as a just being like so empowered in the sense that you are able to like now help so many people who have gone through what you've gone through, right? And to have that awareness about being able to do that is a gift.
absolutely. And I love doing the work that I do. And I love that I can say that I have been on a healing journey. And I always like to say healing is not a destination, it is a journey. And I'm in a place mentally, physically, emotionally, where I can be present for people and I can really make an impact in other people's lives, which I am very, very grateful for. But I want to highlight that you like to advocate for the underdog. Both, it sounds like you have a women's impact nonprofit, and then also animal fair media. I'd love to like dive into what made you start those companies and what's currently happening with the company, what's coming up soon with those two companies.
Well, first of all, Animal Fair I created years ago, and that
Okay.
was because I learned 12 million animals are euthanized a year, and nobody was talking about adoption or rescue. So I created a media company and brought celebrities and pop culture to the animal rescue world. And at that time, I knew, that if everyone learned you could adopt any breed, any size, any age, that you would choose to adopt versus buy, right? And so I brought, I created the first ever pet fashion show. I put celebrities on our, like Renee Zellweger, Beyonce, Justin Timberlake, all these people on our cover to promote adoption and rescue. And that was, the whole purpose of it. And now around the world, I created the term Yappy Hour. And so when you look at like what happened in the animal rescue world, you see that all these organizations emulating what we created. And now basically that number of 12 million is down to 2 million. So, it's all about bringing awareness towards issues, right? And that was what the idea was with Animal Fair and Animal Rescue. Then, as I mentioned, I was on the Today Show every other month. Every month I had a primetime show on CBS, 10 books out, 5 TV shows, 3 Guinness World Records, a wig named after my dog at the Humane Society, millions of dollars raised for animals. I got a crazy stalker. And that led me, luckily, to take care of my father at the end of his life. And from that, I made a decision to go to 2 new countries a year for the rest of my life because I love the world. And I ended up going to Honduras. And I didn't realize when I booked it, it was the murder capital of the world. And that's where I ended up volunteering for an organization that gives microloans to poor women in 2013. And at that time, when I started researching and, I was supposed to spend a couple hours, I spent 3 days on a dirt floor and I met all the women that received like these $100 microloans. And it was just, at each one of them, I was just like astonished by just how, empowered they were. And I just really realized when women are empowered in business, right, we're a capitalist society giving a hand up, not a hand out. That, when women are empowered in business, they have self-confidence, they have dignity, and they don't allow human rights violations. So you think about, economic empowerment is like the key to, the world, a lot of the world's issues, right? And so, going through that and learning about like 1% of venture dollars went toward women founders at the time, and all the, women are underfunded, underpaid, underrepresented, all that. I came back to New York after that experience. And I said, I'll create official day in the world because I create official day, I'll create the conversation, right? And then we launched at the United Nations and we then went around the world. We're now represented in over 100 countries. And we bring governments, business leaders, civil society, entrepreneurs, investors together to collaborate to find solutions to economically empower women. So when you think about systematic change, right? It's about embracing everyone from the ground up. It's not about helping the C-suite become more successful and all these other things. It's really about embracing everyone. So we've, passed one bill in legislation that was championed by Congresswoman Grace Meng to support women entrepreneurs. We created the first ever women in disability startup cohort to help disabled women to become entrepreneurs that Google for Startups now is funding. We created, we support a whole movement to support incarcerated women in prison with entrepreneurship that's 84% successful. They don't go back to prison after they get out. And that's in partnership with DeFi Ventures. And they are an amazing organization that is around the country doing this. We fund impoverished women with microloans all over the world to start their entrepreneurial journey, where they pay them back at a 98% rate. 90% of the money they earn goes to educate their children, provide for their families, which uplifts the entire communities. And we're in partnership with Opportunity International that are administering the loans that we then fund. And we just work on a lot of really impactful ventures. And around the world, our ambassadors are doing the same thing. We give them a toolkit on how to create impact, how to partner with the State Department, how to, really work with their governments in supporting women entrepreneurs and women in business.
Wow, I think you're the first person to come on to this podcast to really give me tangible notes and data points about how you have made an impact. Because I feel like people throw around social impact a lot, and I'm like, it's not enough to just have a seminar or a workshop about the thing. We have to actually do something. So I'm so glad to hear you're doing all this incredible work. I'd love to chat more with you offline about that, but I want to know, because you give a lot to others. So how do you give back to yourself? How do you fill your cup? At the end of the day, you've done a lot, right? So how do you fill up your cup and give back to yourself?
I have to say, I don't, you know, I, you know, like we're going to prison, I'm bringing a bunch of people to prison in May. And, I say to them when they sign up, I say, I'm going to tell you something. It's, you're going to walk out of there and you're going to be like, thank them. You know what I mean? Like, thank you for allowing me this opportunity. Right. So I think, I don't look for anything. I'm not one of those people saying like, oh, I'm gonna help these people because I'm gonna get this. Charity is helping those that can never help you. That's true charity, right? And when you look at the world, everyone, it's sadly, somebody wants a name on a building and they're gonna give you $1 million, that kind of stuff. But really, when you look at real, when you if you really want to, feel and be happy and understand life, it's really about not expecting anything, right? And when you have like low expectations, you're always to me, I'm always like, wow, So I think by doing everything I've done in my life, and everything I've done has been organic. I adopted my dog and cat and learned 12 million animals euthanized here, and I just went on this journey, and it was never about fame, money, or power, And so I think, everything I do is just is a benefit and is always like, I love it, And because of all my work in the past, I've gotten involved in a lot of really cool companies and things like that that are also making bigger impacts and so forth. And I think just this whole ecosystem and circular career has been just really, given me everything I've ever wanted.
I love that. And I think you actually mean it. You're very genuine, and I can tell that you're genuine. And I want to challenge you a little bit, because even though you can give and it makes you feel happy and it makes you feel empowered, how do you find ways to give to yourself, to Wendy, to
Well, okay.
I want to know.
Okay, so here's like my funny life, right? I go to yoga at least once a week. I work out, the Mad Russian told me I have to work out 3 times a week. So I do that, right? So I probably walk 50,000 steps in New York a week. I work out two times a week. I lift 2 times a week and I do yoga once a week. I live a meditative life, meaning I can get into a Uber or a Lyft or a taxi and I can literally zone out. So I'm very much like that. I also take 2 trips a year to 2 new countries a year. And wherever I go, I take time to see, the place. And I eat a lot of pizza because I love pizza. So I could tell you the best pizza places wherever I've been. I go and try everyone. And what else do I do? I just, and I love just like my life. I feel very lucky. I don't care what anyone else is doing. Wherever I am is where I want to be.
Wow, I'm really inspired by you. I love your light and I love your energy. And I'm curious, in one word, how do you want your legacy to be left behind as?
Oof. I don't think I really care.
I love that.
You know how people are like, oh, I want my legacy, I like it doesn't, I don't do it for that.
Wow, that's beautiful. You
I, you
know?
know what I mean? Like it's like what do I care what anyone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's
I
beautiful.
mean, I think that's what the problem is in our society.
Yeah.
Like, I used to have millions of followers, hundreds of thousands of likes and shares and the whole thing. And after my stalker, I stepped back. And that was the greatest gift. Because you know what? When people are worried about what everyone thinks or how many likes they're gonna have and all that kind of, it's like too much energy, right? Instead, you could put that energy on literally, helping do other things and et cetera. So I think it's not important to me about like, oh, I hope that this happens and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, I think a lot it's sort of narcissistic focus when you're like, I want to get this out of it, and I want to, or not really narcissistic, although there are a lot of leaders that are like that, but more selfish. Like, I want this out of it. I'm doing this because of that. And I love that you're doing it just to be a good person, which is so
Well, I
nice.
don't know if I, you know what I mean? I don't know if it's like that, but I would say that more people, so I always say like our foundation, Women's Entrepreneurship Day Organization, women entrepreneurs do make a difference, right? We're not about me, we're about we, women
Right.
entrepreneurs, right? And so I think we just need to get out of that because you see what's happening with like mental health and all this
Yeah.
stuff. And I kind of, and I look at it and I think, like the man, one of the things the Mad Russian said, which I'll not, again, this person was like a very big figure in my life. And by the way, only went to him once, is that, ADD, everyone's getting all this medication now for ADD to focus, right? But I'll never forget what he said. ADD is that you're just not interested. So if you find something you're interested in, you'll focus. So I think we need to, think about, taking ourselves away from all these chemicals and medications and da 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 da, and really just focusing on what we love, and of course we all need a day job, right? We all need to pay our bill and pay our rent and do all this stuff, but it's so important to have pet projects. If you really love something, volunteer your time or create, a little side hustle, that you can really focus on something you love because that'll really inspire you and keep you motivated and excited.
I agree. I think I also think that if a doctor prescribes you medication, it's a good idea to take it. But I think that what you're getting at is to be present and to work on yourself, to look in the mirror. Because I'm a firm believer, like, you can't run successful companies like you are unless you're honest with yourself. You're very reflective of yourself and who you are, and you work on yourself and you work on your wellness. That's a big deal. And that's kind of like the first step for me when I wanted to start. I'm like, I have to work on myself. I can't project this of like empowerment and positive mental health if I'm not feeling it myself. So I think that's like the takeaway, is you have to work on yourself. You have to be brutally honest with yourself, and if you need help, you need to get it. So
Yeah, everybody, you know, one of my little quotes is, everyone in the world wants to help. Just have to make it really easy for them.
I agree. I absolutely agree. So thank you so much for coming on today. I
Thank
really appreciate you.
you. Thank you so much.